He's got the hoe.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
You get it? In the time of the red, the scriptures say it clearly.
I hope it's a little thinner.
I know, right? Maybe we can put in our request for the body that we
but
want.
Let's ask this.
Anyway.
Now, I had a glorious born-again experience.
Yeah.
I tried to live like a monk for 7 years.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. A celibate lifestyle.
Right.
Pretty okay for a 29, 30-year-old. Even my mother said, it's not natural not to be having relations with young ladies at this point. But anyway, so I tried to live that way. Well, I fell.
Right.
Okay.
And that's your law. That's you trying to keep the law, and you couldn't do it.
Oh.
There you go.
So do you believe once we are born of the Spirit, was he referring to the disciples when he said, no one can take them, no one that the Father's given me can be taken from me, or was he talking about you and I? Was that for the apostles, or does that mean that Rhett Palmer, though I know him intimately, have heard from him, I've had miraculous encounters, and yet I've willfully sinned.
Yes.
Am I still going to go to heaven?
Yes, of course. And it isn't,
so once
it says
it's done,
in the
it's
scriptures,
done?
It's not just those who the Father had given Jesus, the apostles. It's all who would believe in their word through their testimony, which is all the way to us in this age. You get it? So we're included in that. What I'm saying.
So though we fall, but what about people that abuse it? What about people that go, well, it's under the blood?
Talks about in the book of Romans that, because there's mercy, should we then...
things are lawful.
Right, right. And the whole thing is you have to transition, because we live in a hierarchical pyramid in this world, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, John said. So there's a false Father. You get it?
The father of all lies.
The father of the lie. There's just really one lie, which is self-love. Yes. Okay? God is love and God is a Trinity, and they agape one another, and they are fused through that, what I call a fusible DNA. They are one.
You're going to love a song I wrote. And anybody out there that I got the song,
okay.
Because there's only two religions, there's only two decisions that prevail, self-salvation, self-crucified and nailed.
Yes.
There really is only two decisions.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
I've never really sang it out because I didn't know, a lot of people might not understand that, but I know you will.
I do understand that.
Yeah. I want to play that for you sometime.
Done the failures. I've done things like you trying to live the monk life. You have to practice all this and find out what works and what doesn't. And if you can listen to people that are a little more mature than you are in the Lord, sometimes that can save you from doing stupid stuff that doesn't mean anything.
Most of us have.
Most
of us fall forward.
But everybody's going to do some stupid stuff.
Oh,
everybody
man.
Does. Even my dad.
Yeah.
And he tells about it. When he was talking about agape, he gives the illustration of my mom getting out the vitamins and stuff for them, every day for years and years of their marriage. And then one day she was sick. My mom was sick, and he went and just got the pills for himself and didn't get them for her.
Mm-mm.
You get it? He just got, and God used that to discipline him and show him that he is self-absorbed and selfish. Degenerous.
Degenerous.
You get it? Degenerous.
Yes. We've lost the genes of God.
We did. And regeneration is the hope. And the Spirit's at work in that, in anyone who receives
him. What do you think about now when, I can only go on my own life. So.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was very close to me.
Yes.
For the first few years.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah.
And inordinately close. Now, then I said after 7 years, I fell. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he would still, I'd have the visitation.
Yeah, of
the
of course.
Holiness, but
he never leaves you.
But as I've gotten older, I'd say it's been once in a while now, but generally I'm walking, it seems like I'm walking in a desert.
Okay.
And I go, are you still here? Am I still saved? Why am I, why are you, why do you seem so distant?
Yeah. I think it might be appetitive, like love is appetitive, like you would yearn for him, yearn for the spirit of him. There's a psalm that says, the one in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Right? So in your heart, you
know. I can
see
you're touched emotionally.
You know the way. You know the way to go home. You know? It's written in your heart. And there are songs and memories and things that take you there.
Now, let me ask
you. And the Spirit initiates that, and you have to respond to it.
Now, I'm very pleased with the tears in your eyes. Mm-hmm. I see you have a heart for the Lord. And, you know, so how do you bring that back again? What is it the crustiness of the world sometimes? And how do we shed that like a snake sheds its skin, you know?
Like a skin, right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a part of repentance. Like you've been going in a certain direction of indifference, you know, and dryness and crustiness. And then you decide, no, my essential life is in fusion with the Lord. You know, and the thing about fusion is that the Son, Jesus, you know, is the nucleus. He's become, I call Jesus the God-man nucleus, because it says that all the fullness of deity, the Father and the Spirit and the Son, were pleased to dwell in Christ, in Jesus.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
And he is the nucleus of God. And so, but he is also the Son of humanity, the Son of man.
I never understood why he called himself the Son of Man.
And we are supposed to become members of his own body. You get it? So he is what we call the combined and combining God-man. So he combines the Father and the Spirit in himself. Now, not like they all become one person. It's that they are dwelling in, he is the home where they want to be. He would say, if you've seen if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. You get it? Not that he was saying I am the Father,
but the Father
wants to live within in me and inhabits me.
I try to explain this to people.
Sure.
I've just met you, so we just started a relationship, friendship today. But if somebody was driving by here right now and they started shooting through the window,
mm-hmm.
okay, God forbid. But all of a sudden, I jump up and I take the bullets for you,
mm-hmm.
and I die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how could God come to the earth? I ask people this: if you're not converted, let me ask you this, folks: how could God come? I know what I'll do. I will give the ultimate. I will come and be a human. First of all, I'll establish with the Ten Commandments that there is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Then you will all try to be, you know, try to be of your own works. Then I will come and pay the price for you.
Yes.
I will die on the cross for you. And now, if you believe in me, you'll have freedom,
mm-hmm.
liberty, like you've never understood it before, and love eternal. And so how, what other way? I mean, some other plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's to me, who's when I was younger, it was my intellect refused Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I was into Eastern religions,
mm-hmm. sure.
thinking, oh, I've got to come back 10,000 times in order to become an evolved mm-hmm. soul.
It's all works.
I. And so God said, no. All the other religions say, you've got to give up your life for Muhammad. You've got to do this. You've got to. And Jesus says, no. I paid the price for you. You don't have to die for me. You just have to accept me.
And that is a treasured knowledge. To come to that knowledge that you cannot add anything to your righteousness or salvation is a huge gift. You get it? Because the old mind, the mind that you were born with says, I can do it. Or I at least need to add something to it.
Yes.
You get it? But that is not how it works.
But now, of course, I do want him to be happy.
Yes.
Like I pray, I say, Lord, I've been asking you for things, you know, for so many years, and you've been very kind to me. I said, and now, of course, I'm at the point where it's like, oh, I have no right to ask for that because, look, you know, there's other people in much harder situations. But how can I love you? What can I possibly do that would be pleasing to him?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay, at the lower level, you know, we have this thing where we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, mm-hmm. and visit people in prison.
Sure.
Because Jesus said on that day, many will come to me and say, "You did. Mm-hmm. We did signs and wonders. We delivered people from demons." And he'll say, depart from me
mm-hmm.
for all eternity. I never knew you as a husband knows a wife. But mm-hmm. to others, he'll say, hey, Mr. Bernstein, you fed me, you clothed me, you visited me in prison. Mm-hmm. When did I do? We don't remember you, Jesus. When did we do this to you? Well, Mr. Bernstein, when you did it to mm-hmm. the least of these, my brethren. Now, mm-hmm. one thing that could go awry here, though, is then you can say, oh, so it's a salvation of works. Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Works will follow love.
It's affection shown. It's like Mother Teresa.
Yes.
She had a revelation of Jesus on the cross saying, I thirst. And she knew that her whole life was to quench Jesus' thirst. And the way she did that was to the least of these.
My brethren.
You get it? When she looked into the guy in Calcutta, you know, thirsting to death outside on the side of the road.
And brought him in.
She was loving Jesus by loving that man, because all humanity is summed up in the Son of Man, in Jesus. You get it? All of it. He's the head. He's the firstborn of a new race now. A new race. You know, Adam was the head of the degenerate race, right? Yes. And Jesus is now becoming the head of the regenerated race.
Because Jesus said,
correct.
He said, make sure you're born again.
Because
I know somebody's on TV, and a lot of his ministry I really do like.
Mm-hmm.
But he has this thing at the end every day where he goes, now, if you just say, I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for my sins, we believe you just got born again. I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
No, I ain't buying it.
Right.
When I was in my living room, I was yelling up at the ceiling saying, okay, you know, all these people around me, Pat Robertson on TV, Ben Kinchel, who later on became my good friend in life, the black man who was the co-host. It's amazing. But anyway, so I call out to God and I said, okay, I believe you died. I believe you rose from the dead. Nothing happens.
Yeah, right.
So I'm in there yelling at the ceiling saying, okay. He must, obviously, he must have inspired this because I'm going, oh, I'm a fool to live without you. You gave me breath. So, I do believe you died on the cross for my sins.
Yes.
I do believe you rose from the dead.
Right.
And I surrender my life, the rest of my life,
correct,
to you. And the heavens opened up and the holiness of God filled me up. So this is why I warn people. If you don't know you're born again, then you're not. Most likely, you know?
Yes.
But
you belong to the Lord.
Now, that doesn't
you
mean...
You have to know it.
Yes. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, the... There's people sitting in pews. Yes, there's people sitting in pews who don't know the Lord, even though they go to church all the time.
Yeah.
But there's other people who are jumping up and down singing hallelujah, and they've not really been converted. Mm-hmm. It's between you and it's a personal relationship, right?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing near, I find my rest without you. I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. The sin runs.